Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yo, welcome in to the podcast inside of a podcast. It's the House of L podcast, like overall, but Maggie Hendricks and I get together and we talk about Star Trek sometimes, like this time where we're talking about Star Trek. I'm Lawrence. Thank you so much for checking out the podcast. The reaction to the first episode that Maggie and I did was incredible. So we decided that we were going to keep it going. And truth be told, we were going to do it whether you liked it or not. Because we like it. We figured since we're just texting each other about Star Trek anyway, that we would talk to you about Star Trek. So we, after a little bit, I actually edited it out. I should have left it in now that I think about it. But we were sitting there talking as I kind of turned everything on and got connected. We were talking about what this episode was going to be. And we knew that we wanted to talk about sex on Star Trek. And we know that we're going to miss some parts of it. Like, thinking back after we had finished recording it, like, we didn't even talk about the Kirk Uhura kiss, which was one of the most important moments in television and civil rights history. As weird as that sounds, it's true. And Nichelle Nichols showing you a six-pack back in the day. I saw a tweet of her recently where she's got the picture of her, like now-ish, with the picture of Uhura rocking the midriff and the six-packs. It was fun. It's a fun thing to see. Everyone should feel sexy as long as they can feel sexy. What does Joe Madden always say? Dig me. If it's a dig me outfit, it's a dig me outfit. So anyway, we knew that we wanted to talk about this because it's one of the topics that comes up a lot when Maggie and I are tweeting or texting each other about Star Trek. It's the type of sex. You know what else we forgot? Damn it. I almost feel like I should call Maggie back. We forgot to talk about Ferengi sex. We forgot to talk about Umaks. And I'm not certain about it. Is it just the erogenous zone or is it the sex organ itself? Anyway, we'll have to explore that in later episodes of the podcast. Like, I think that this would be a great opportunity for you to send us questions at houseoflpodcast@gmail.com. so that we can then comment on these things in the next episode. Like, hey guys, saw that you totally forgot about Ferengi sex with the earlobes. Would you like to discuss that? Thanks. I'm blah, blah, blah from blah, blah, blah. So if you could just go ahead and just so that I remember it, just send me that email now. Right now, just Ferengi, like topic, Ferengi sex. houseoflpodcast@gmail.com. Because I think that it deserves a thorough examination of what's going on when Ferengi have sex. Anyway, we wanted to talk about this because there's so many different examples of different sex lives and relationships and how those relationships are impacted by sex. So we thought we'd do that. I think you'll enjoy the conversation because it spans over a bunch of different. We didn't talk about sex on Star Trek Enterprise, but we did talk about sex on TNG, DS9, and now that I'm almost caught up on Discovery, I think the next episode, I want to spend a lot of time talking with Maggie about Discovery because I thought that it went a little off the rails, but I'm enjoying it in a way that I don't think I've ever enjoyed a Star Trek series. Anyway, that's for a later episode. This episode is about Trek sex. That's what we're talking about today. And we wanted to start, you'll get thrust, no pun intended, into the middle of a conversation where Maggie and I are talking about the lives and the loves of one Jean-Luc Picard. I'm in a cycle right now of watching earlier episodes of TNG, and it seemed like they were stuck in making him kind of a dick. Like, he was kind of a hard ass at the beginning. You know, and that's where it's so interesting, because, like, later on he's like, yeah, I don't know where this whole I don't like children thing comes from. Well, it kind of came from you in the first couple of episodes. Right. And Wesley, like, shut up, Wesley. And Wesley hitting him with a snowball and all sorts of other stuff.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, let's save some of it for the show, but like for when we're recording.
Oh, we're recording.
Like, oh, we're recording. We're going.
We're doing recording.
This. All right. So one of the things that I hate so much about his relationship with Wesley, like it gets me so angry every time I watch it, is when he and Wesley are on that shuttle because Picard needs heart surgery and Wesley is going to do a test for the Academy. By the way, I still don't understand how you get in the Academy. Watched this show for years. There's tests. I don't even know. It's more confusing than trying to get into a magnet school in CPS.
It's so confusing because with Wesley in particular, he had been field promoted. So there was really no reason for him to go to Starfleet Academy.
Right. Or like, okay, so he does, maybe even like, okay, so now for him to be a commissioned officer, he has to go to Starfleet. Okay. But you tell me he didn't get in immediately after he had been working on the flagship? Like, no. But when he's in that shuttle, Wesley brings up to him about like, I don't think you like children, or I don't think something like that. And then he says, with all of the guilt of a mother, it's a shame, you would have made a good father. What the hell is that about? He's like a 15-year-old. Like, every time I see that line, and maybe it's because I've heard that that same guilty line from people I'm related to, but every time I'm like, Wesley, shut up.
Shut up, Wesley. You shut it up.
I hate that thing of it. And like, there are things about the relationship that could be both, like that could have been a much better drawn relationship, him and Wesley, because there is history there. And there's a, you know, they get into it later that Wesley has like questions about his father and wants to know more. But I mean, Picard was there when his dad died. That could have been a really rich thing to mine. And instead it's turned into a very weird, weird relationship.
You're so right on. It's like they would always play around the edges of it. They play around the edges of, well, you know, Picard was the guy that pretty much killed Jack Crusher. And it was the same thing with him and Beverly, where it was like, y'all probably shouldn't be messing with each other because of the history of it. But it needs to be acknowledged. And there was just kind of this skirting around of the issue of does Wesley see Picard as a father-like figure? Because it seemed like initially what they were trying to do is that Riker was supposed to kind of be the big brother / father-like figure for Wesley.
Right. And then, but like, there just was never, they never explored any of that enough, because it seemed like everything was about, let's make Wesley the smartest kid in the world. Well, I mean, you already know that. Like, I get annoyed when people are just like dismiss Wesley or even dismiss poor Will Wheaton because of it. Is I think they had such an opportunity with that character, and to have quite frankly, when you watch Will Wheaton in Stand By Me. My gosh, I don't know why that left my head. But when you see him in Stand By Me, you know you're dealing with a talented actor. So if you're going to have that, then do something with it. And that never felt like it came through with the writers.
I didn't realize that things were so bad for Wil Wheaton. I've seen him talk about it, but I didn't realize that he was so hated by Star Trek fans, and they were very vocal in their hatred of one Wil Wheaton, and it was undeserved.
Yeah, I don't think it was his. It wasn't his fault. The only thing that makes me happy is that the timing of when he was actually on TV, and when he was also at an age when he was most vulnerable, was not the time of social media. Because if that was all happening right now, and there was a character like Wesley right now, that poor child, you know, I would feel so bad for them. So I think like Wil Wheaton came out the other side. I mean, I don't want to say unscathed, because I'll let the man talk for himself. But I think if it was a later situation, then it would have been a very bad situation of a child star.
Can I just say that they also got incredibly wrong? Remember when Q offers to make him an adult? It's like, it's not even close. It's not even close to who he ended up growing up being. And that's neither negative or positive. It's just like when you see the episode now and you can see a grown up Wil Wheaton, they're like, did they put any thought into projecting out what Wil Wheaton would look like at 35?
I mean, or was there some guy sitting in central casting eating his lunch that they're like, you're a dude. Come on.
Hey, you're handsome. Get over here.
You're sort of handsome. You're not black or Latino. Come on. Come do this.
Oh, you're right. That would have been the move. Guess what you grow up to be, Wesley? A good-looking black man. Thanks, Q. I appreciate that.
This is always what I dreamed of. Oh, my gosh. No, but everybody's going to make sure we're banned from every casting ever.
Oh, my God. That's so good. All right. So, wait. Let's get back to Picard.
Picard.
Why is it that they couldn't quite get him, in your opinion, a girlfriend that would stick around?
Well, I think they wanted to give him a love interest, right? Like they wanted, but I also don't think, like when you look at the women that are written for The Next Generation, not some of the other shows, but for The Next Generation, I don't know if they were capable of writing for long term a woman who would truly challenge him. Because the women who challenged him were the ones who weren't afraid to like, to give him crap right back. Like Vosh and Commander, what was it?
Commander Darren.
Commander Darren. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. So
wait, there's an inequity here that we do need to talk about, and you are uniquely qualified for it. What is it? How do you feel as a redhead that there are so many redheaded women in Star Trek lore?
Well, I think that's what the world should be. We need more redheads. So I look at it as Gene Roddenberry, you know, he was looking for a utopian world. He was trying to create a perfect place, and a perfect place would have more redheads. So
that is an excellent answer. That's actually an excellent answer. So are you team Vosh? Are you team Darren? Are you team Crusher?
You know, I'm kind of team Crusher, even though like, there's a lot of weirdness around it. They also have a very strong shared history. They understand each other. And you know, Beth's hot. Go for it. But I think that someone who understand, who is, first of all, she is at a level on the Enterprise that she can tell him, she can order him around. She can tell him what to do. You know, there's first of all, that weird, that any sort of relationship in a military
command structure, yeah,
you know, that's a power differential. And they get to that a little bit in the episode Lessons, but I don't know if they do it enough, because he is her commanding officer. Even though Riker is the one dealing with her day to day, he can order her to her death. He can, you know, all of these things that a commanding officer has to do, he has to, that's why he usually keeps some separation. I of course love that immediately when they realize this problem, it's like, well, she better transfer. Because God knows a man can't make the change in his career. It's got
to
be her.
Well, and she says to him, she's like, you know, you could just come with me.
Yeah. You know, I think one of the things that we see of Picard, both on The Next Generation, in the movies and everything, is how when he gets in a situation that he knows he can do well and succeed in, it's hard for him to break out of that. When his archaeology professor comes to him and says, okay, this is the mission. You want to come and do this with me. And he wants to, he really wants to, but Star Trek is his, or Starfleet is his home. And then we see that again in the episode after the Best of Both Worlds, that we see him do the same thing, that like, oh, this is a really interesting thing. But Starfleet is my home, you know?
It's one of the things that I enjoyed about Picard, the series, is that it turns all of that on its head. And you get to see, like, to me, it was the equivalent of, like, when you watch the movie The Matrix, and you're like, man, Morpheus is the baddest man ever. And then you're like, oh, Morpheus has a boss? Like,
right.
What? Like, how that does... is... Morpheus
that
have
a
boss.
Really cool thing with when you start watching Picard is you see, I mean, you saw a little bit of the hierarchy in the other shows. Like you saw, you know, there was the different admirals and things who came in, but that bosses that he was struggling with, bosses, because all the other bosses are like, here, Jean-Luc, you need to go do this awesome thing because you're awesome. But that he's struggling with Starfleet policy, that he's struggling with his bosses. That to me is you're right. It's some of the most fun things that you see on Picard, because you also realize like what a challenge that's got to be for Patrick Stewart to take this very different side. We only see the captain as the hero, you know? And so Patrick Stewart has to be like, no, sometimes he gets told no in meetings, and that's how it has to be.
Right. You get to deconstruct the myth by making him the rebel. And yeah. And a little bit of the outlaw, and I thought, and they think that he's crazy, like
right.
that episode where he's being interviewed by the reporter, and she's just ripping him, like she is really giving him the business. You're like, oh snap! So like the people of the Federation are seeing a decorated admiral look like a clown in a television interview, and it deconstructs the hero myth of Jean-Luc Picard.
And the only time we had previously seen anything touched at that was on Deep Space Nine, was at the beginning of Deep Space Nine, when we see Sisko say, nah, you killed my wife. Like, I'm not playing with you. We're not friends, man. You killed my wife. Like, I understand, but you killed my wife. But that was a private meeting, and Sisko still was, he was still, you know, understood ranks and understood the hierarchy of
there was only how so far he could go.
Right. He wasn't going to push it to the point that reporter was, that the reporter said, you know, what went wrong in all these things? We need to talk about it. And that was one of the interesting things to watch, and actually brings me around to the ladies of his life. It is always the ones who challenge him that he found more interesting. Like women who are just cute, like, okay, he didn't, you know, it didn't seem to be anywhere enough. Now Riker, that was fine for him, but it was the ones who really challenged him that turned his head.
I was having a discussion with a friend of mine who is a huge Star Trek fan, and I was talking about Will Riker's space whore. And I mean, it's from the jump of the series, like just whatever, wherever, whomever, like the episode of Angel One, like like, oh, totally. I'm down for totally being subservient. Give me that.
He was, He was supposed to be on a diplomatic meeting, and it's like, oh, but now we're naked. Like, of course. Like, yeah, Riker, it just, but I, what I appreciate about Riker is there's no pretense. That's he's Riker space whore, and that's the way he is.
He is out there swashbuckling. I am Team Darren. And the reason that I'm Team Darren is I thought that that character showed a humanity in him that even with Vash, you didn't quite get. Like, you could tell that Vash was the fun girlfriend. Yeah. Like, she's kind of dangerous, and I enjoy being around her. But we always knew that he was never going to be with her. Like, yeah. I felt like there was a chance for him to be with Commander Darren, and she's got him climbing Jeffrey's tubes to find the perfect spot to play their music. And when he shared the music from the planet, like, I was like, yo, this is the one right here. Yeah. Like, this is it. Like, he's found his match and everything's going to be cool. But then he's like, I might have to kill you. Like, not personally, just I might have to send you on a mission that kills you and we can't be together. And I thought that was great, though, when him and Riker are discussing, like, I know that's your girlfriend.
Right.
What am I supposed to do when your girlfriend asks me for something?
Yeah. I mean, and I thought Riker handled the situation well to say, like, okay, this is weird and I need to talk to you about it. Their relationship, Riker and Picard's, I love that they were in a situation that literally Riker could go to his boss and be like, I am uncomfortable with something. We need to talk about it. Like, that is a dream for every working situation ever. You want to be able to go to your boss and say, this is not right, and we need to discuss it, and I need some direction on how to do it, you know? And so I like that. I think the other thing that we get to see because of Darren is him freaking out about the potential loss of somebody. Because early on in the show, and this is also true from the original series, there is a very set way of how you're supposed to grieve people you've lost on Star Trek. There is, like, you're in the moment, you have to forget about it. And then after, when it's time to grieve, you do your grieving, you see the projection of Tasha Yar for, like, you know, 2 minutes, and then it's over. But when you, with Darren, and you see him freaking out in his, when he's in his quarters and like being nervous and hanging around the, you know, where they're beaming back from, like, you get to see that. I think you're right about that. You get to see that humanity from him that you don't necessarily see with a lot of the other situations.
I also enjoy, and I don't know if this was a choice by the directors or by Patrick Stewart, that as the series went on, he was more than willing to show you his body.
Yes. I appreciated that too, especially once they got rid of the awful uniforms that were just like
a unitard. Like
straight, yeah, the bodysuit, awful ones. And then they had, like, it sometimes he would wear like the jacket one. So yeah, I appreciate that Patrick Stewart he was a stage guy. He was very much a stage guy. So I wonder if earlier on in his career, like early on when he was on Star Trek, if it was just that getting comfortable with your body being on screen instead of on stage.
Yeah, I dig that. That it became, there's a lot of chest hair going on with Sir Patrick Stewart as we get to the end of the series. He's like, hey, check this out. A lot of short shorts.
Yeah,
on
we see
Sir
a lot
Patrick's
of his legs.
Yes.
We see a lot of Patrick Stewart's legs, you know, and not even just because there are four lights, but like in the other episodes too, we get to see that those British legs.
How do we feel about Mrs. Troy? And because we're going to get into Creepy Geordi.
Yeah.
Is Mrs. Troy also creepy?
You know, what I appreciate about Mrs. Troy is she doesn't hide anything. Homegirl's telling you. She wants it. She absolutely wants it. I mean, and she doesn't have to tell you. She's an empath. She has other ways of communicating, but still, she's going to tell you. So I think, you know, what I think.
So like, are we going to count her as one of Picard's love interests? Or no. Because it's one way, it doesn't count.
I think because it's one way, it doesn't count. This, you know, I think we talked about this last time, but with Worf, that DS9 gave him a more rounded out character. And funny enough, the same thing happened with Luxana Troi, because she became a much more like real person when you see her, take off her wig with Odo. She becomes like this, it kind of gets rid of the artifice, and it gets rid of all of the things that she uses to make herself feel pretty and beautiful and desirable and young. And a lot of that gets stripped down, you see, in Deep Space Nine, but it makes you understand the next generation, Luxana, a lot better when you realize, like, oh, there's insecurity there, and there's a lot of pain over losing a daughter that she never talked about. Like, that stuff's pretty real. That stuff's pretty painful. And so when you get to kind of go down into the layers, like, I love Mrs. Troi, but in those early episodes, she's just a trip. She's just as hilarious and fun. And I like the one where they try to marry off Deanna, even though, like, I find it so awful, I also find it hilarious.
When I think of, you're so right about her on DS9 versus on TNG. And I feel like Odo should have been with her, like, more than Kira and more than that damn changeling. Like, I, ugh, the way that she used what I'm going to talk about it in these terms. I felt like she used sex at connecting with the Great Link through her. I felt like that she used that to manipulate him.
Oh, she absolutely did. And that, I mean, and it wasn't even just the connecting through the link. It was also, they had actual human sex, because she said, oh, that's how humans do intimacy or something like that. And so she absolutely used that to manipulate Odo and hold on to him. And I'll tell you, Mrs. Troi never would have done that. Maybe she would have. She probably was pretty talented, let's be honest.
I mean that's the kind of intriguing part that you'd have to kind of be like, I'll try it. Like, you know, if you're a man of a certain age, you're like, you know what? I'm interested. I'm interested to see where this whole thing goes. I mean, she is the daughter of the
sacred chalice
of
Reeks
or
whatever.
Something,
yeah.
Or other. Whatever. I'd try it. I'm just saying.
Get Gene Roddenberry kicking the crap out of you, though.
Yeah, you would. Yeah,
that's his lady.
You absolutely would. A quick aside, because you were talking about their uniforms and the jacket, I really, like, now that I'm almost done, I'm almost caught up with Discovery, the way that they popped color on the Enterprise's uniforms,
yeah,
it's amazing. It looks so much better.
I mean, in general, the costume design of Discovery just blows my mind. It's so, so good. I mean, we could do a whole show about this, about just the costumes, but, like, that one it's so good. First of all, when they go to the mirror universe and, like, how stark, and it goes from black and gold from navy and gold on the regular Star Trek. And then when they go to the mirror universe, it's black and gold. So it's, like, just a little different, but very different. And
prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The makeup is very fierce and harsh.
And I know. But like they do, it's a great thing on the Enterprise and the way number one stands out and all that. And, you know, I mean, all of it, it just, it's pretty great.
I always wonder.
I need to do a rewatch of Discovery.
I always wonder when you have people who guest star, like, are they like, I don't know why, but I would have never imagined like Rebecca Romijn is number one. And I'm like, I wonder if she was a fan. And I could probably read up on this, but I always wonder when you're offered something like this, do you do it because it's a gig or do you do it because it's freaking Star Trek and the idea of being on Star Trek is awesome?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I think that was when they did The Next Generation. I've read some things about that, and that the actors that were doing it were like, there was a little bit of both. There was some that it was like, oh my God, it's Star Trek. But there were some that were like, well, I'll try it and we'll see how it goes. Because they didn't know. But I think at this point, when it's such an established, you know, franchise, that I think, I would think any actor would be like, at least to be a guest star? Hell yeah. I mean, James Worthy did it. That's still my very favorite, cameo of all time.
I was just watching an episode where Terry Hatcher was on, and I forgot that Terry Hatcher was the lieutenant who fell for the swashbuckling space pirate.
Right. My very favorite of those, though, that you see, is when you see Sandra from the Cosby's.
Oh yeah, she was on a couple of episodes.
Right, but I'm sure her character has a name, and I'm sure that actress has a name.
Oh,
she's Sandra.
Her name is LeBeau, Sabrina LeBeau.
Oh, impressive.
Thank you. Because I always wondered, was she related to Shia? But, you know, but do you know that she was only 10 years younger than Felicia Rashad?
I'm not surprised by that. You know, they had to make Mrs. Cosby look very young. It didn't matter what the old piece of crap was looking like.
Yeah, that's true.
She had... Felicia Rashad had to be young and attractive and also can tell you off in Spanish. That's my favorite thing of Mrs. Huxtable.
When she
tells people off in Spanish.
I enjoyed that too. Or pretty much any time that she told people off, because basically that was what I was living with growing up. So, you know, so my mom is very much Claire Huxtable. So it's, it's hilarious to me to see episodes, especially The Wretched, because I have been there. I have been in that moment where someone has to hold her back or else you're going to get struck. So I would say Ashley Judd. And I never were they trying to make her a regular? That's what I couldn't figure out, because it felt like she was going to be on the cast.
Right. Were they trying to make her a regular? Were they trying to make a relationship between her and Wesley? Like... It was all very, like, none of it was clear. And so, I mean, I understand. I don't know if she was just like, okay, I'm done with this or what, but put her on Deep Space Nine or Voyager. So like, it's weird to me that they never did anything more with her, because she was Ashley freaking Judd.
Lieutenant Leffler, right? Lieutenant Robin Leffler on TNG. All right, we've held off long enough, and don't worry, there'll be plenty of other like sex parts of Star Trek because we haven't even touched the sexual tension on Discovery.
Yet. Oh gosh, no, it's fun.
Yeah, it is fun. Let's talk about Creepy Geordi.
I want to preface this conversation and make it very clear that we are talking about the character of Geordi LaForge and not LeVar Burton.
He's just the best.
He's the best. I would give him my kidney. I love LeVar Burton. If he needed a kidney and it was mine, yes, I would say The world needs LeVar Burton, so yes, he could have my kidney.
Do you know that there's a whole television show about that now, right?
Oh, no. What?
There's literally a TV show on CBS as we speak that's about two people that used to be friends, and one of them needs a kidney, and the other one gives it to him. And I said to Herbie one day, I was like, so is this like a one episode show? Like,
yeah, what happens after that?
I don't know, because I haven't tuned in, but that being the premise of the show, I'm like, yeah. So after she says, yes, I'll give you a kidney, that's the end, right? Like, that's roll credits and all that good stuff. But yes, yeah. We are not trying to bag on. We're not saying that LeVar Burton was on set doing inappropriate things.
Nope.
We're just saying that he was written in a way that was a little creepy. Now, yes. And I get that the whole idea was he's an engineer. He's a little uncomfortable in expressing himself. Right.
Not great with the ladies.
Not great with the ladies. He should have listened to Worf on dealing with the ladies. But there were multiple times where you're going, is this is the way that they think they could get him a girlfriend? Like,
right. I mean, so the number one star plus plus situation that drives me the most nuts, and I won't watch the episode anymore. It gets deleted off the DVR. Is the one where he turns Leah Abrams, the engineer behind the...
No, Brahms. Brahms.
Oh, Leah Brahms. That's it. Leah Brahms. The engineer behind the warp core of Enterprise. And he turns her into a hollow character that he, like, flirts with. And then when she finds out, he, like, tries to make it her fault. And, like... And like, and then she's like, oh, I forgive you. And then the very worst part of this is when on the All Good Things episodes, the series finales, we find out, we see Geordi in the future, and we hear Picard say, well, my cooking might not be up to Leah's standards. Oh, so he married the girl that he was being creepy to?
Well, first of all, she had to divorce her husband.
Right. She was married already. And so now Geordi is a creepy ass homebreaker. Come on.
Well, you know what? Like, leading into that, what I didn't understand was, why did they make it so that him and Christy was the one that was chasing him?
So, right. And also Christy and Leah kind of look alike.
Yeah, but that actress is like way smaller.
Right, that's true.
But the idea that she was chasing him, and then like two episodes into that arc, it's like, I don't like you. And
right.
it didn't make any sense at all.
No, there was so much. And I definitely think they were just trying to draw him as the nerd who doesn't know how to talk to women. Now, the number one way they could have dealt with that is by, I don't know, putting more women in engineering actually in important roles. Because like, there's the one episode where Barclay, it's one of the, I think one of the Barclay holodeck episodes, but they're all in this meeting and they're all trying to figure out what's wrong. And it's all white dudes and Android and Geordi. That's the only people who can figure out engineering problems. And so like, that was my first thought was like, that is a lot of dudes. Is that every engineering department? And if we're saying that, what are we saying to the girls out there that want to be engineers?
Well, that's something on Discovery that they've gotten right. Like,
yes,
you got everyone you need down in engineering now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that engineering actually seems like a party.
Yeah. Remind me that there has to be a whole episode on Tig Notaro, because I love her. Like, I just think that she's wonderful. And like, adding her to that cast, it brought, she has to me the same level of, obviously she's a comic, but her comedic timing inside of the script is like DeForest Kelly's to me in the original Star Trek, where you need someone with dissent who's looking at all of this like, y'all are crazy. Like, what are we doing? Like, this isn't the way to do these things. So I want to do a whole episode on Tig and Discovery, because I love her snark. Like, it's just really, really wonderful. But yeah, it's so weird to see. Like, I you're right. Like, they were trying to give you, well, he's awkward. Like, that, I think that's what they were going for. But in his awkwardness, it kind of manifested itself as he kind of creepy. And right. And then when you're touching these engines, you're touching me. It's just like,
I know that there were at times women working in the writer's room at Star Trek, at the Next Generation. But I wonder how much freedom they had to speak up, that there wasn't a woman that was like, excuse me, this is weird. And if a guy talked to me like this, I would find it weird. Like, I wonder if there were women empowered to say that, because when I listen to that dialogue, I'm like, oh, no.
It's almost like how did the holodeck like create that version of her? Because with the limited biography that they had, I'm not sure how you get to there with her.
Yeah, I think a lot of times with the holodeck, there's a whole lot of just like, oh, okay, it's the holodeck, that we have to do that. But there are also times when it's like, all right, guys, this is too far. This is too far. Like, I will, you know, suspend all the disbelief in the world and believe, but like, yeah, how am I supposed to believe? Like, do they have to like go through all of her, diaries and things like that and journals to find out more about her personality?
Yeah, but it just felt like that's not it. Like that seems like an anomalous thing that's happening, where she would be flattered by that. Like, right. that might be something you tell your boo, like, that you, once you've been together for, you know what I mean? But it seems like such a, I enjoyed how horrified the actual Leah Brahms was when she saw the program, because we were all feeling it. Like, this is creepy.
Well, I appreciated that too, but I also was bugged by how, by the end of the episode, it was like, oh, but they've forgiven each other, it's fine. Like, no, that was like a huge invasion of privacy. That's creepy.
It's quite the violation. Since we are talking about all the sex on Star Trek, or as much as we can in this episode, can we talk about Jadzia and Worf and the openness of their very physical sexual relationship that they had?
And there was no problem with Sisko being like, don't break a bone, don't kill each other.
Like, for real, don't end up with, like, broken bones because of your crazy sex that the two of you are having.
Right. Which we know about, because the very first time they got together, they ended up in the infirmary with Julian. And even Julian's like, nah, you know, I don't need to, we're good. Broke Julian's heart a little bit too.
Oh, it totally broke his heart. The moment when he found out that Jadzia liked to go a little harder than maybe he was capable of.
Yeah.
Of, like, because the thing is like, she's not the only one who was hurt. Like,
oh no.
And it takes a lot to hurt a Klingon.
Though we know, and we talked about this last time, we were talking about your love, Kalar. That's what he wants. He wants a woman. He wants a woman who can kick his ass in every way of the word, kick his ass. Like, that's,
I don't see anything wrong with that. Not a damn thing wrong with it.
That was a very smart move by the writers of Deep Space Nine, I think, to make Jadzia almost like the person who follows in Kalar's footsteps. Because it was set up. It was already set up for him to want a woman like that. The only one that didn't make any sense with Worf was Deanna Troi. Like, that made no sense at all.
Yeah, you're right. It didn't make any sense. I mean, I guess, you know, you have this, they've been together like on the ship, and there was a lot of growth that he had shown because of her, but it didn't seem like she, delicate. Like, she seemed too delicate to be Worf's mate.
Right. And again, in every sense of the word.
Right.
Like, and we hear her when he's with Jadzia, we hear about this thing where he had really hurt one of his classmates when he was a kid. And so, you know, why it would scare him to be with humans, that doesn't work with being with Deanna. Not to mention Deanna and Riker. I was so glad when on Picard and we see their happy little world and all of that. You know, like, that's how it should be. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. That episode that you're talking about of DS9, that had Vanessa Williams on it.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
And I was super happy to see her.
I'm waving at the computer screen right now to fan Lawrence off. She is a beautiful woman. God bless.
In any universe, she is a beautiful woman. And it was like, oh, yeah. Another one of those, like, cool cameos that would pop up on in the Star Trek family where you'd be like, that's so dope that you have.
It's a shame she didn't bring Rick Fox with her, because then there would have been two Lakers on Star Trek.
That's right. And he's also beautiful.
Oh, he is a gorgeous man. It's ridiculous. Whatever.
All right. So is there any Star Trek? Oh, wait. Do we need to talk about the Tasha Yar data sex?
Yes, we do. Because it was so weird. I mean, I understand why in the very second episode, why they did a very clear reference to the original series. I get it. And like, it was like basically a rewrite of that episode. But when everybody is healthy and fine again, and they all understand, oh, we did some crazy shit when we were on whatever was happening, that then she had to go do the, it never happened. Like, Data could have been like, you're right, it didn't, bitch. What? Like, come on.
And he could have been like, no, you came on to me. Like, right? You wanted all of this.
You know, I'm a robot, right? So, right. Like, I was holding back. It was you that got in the weird outfit with the curl in your forehead.
She had the Superman curl.
She had the Superman curl and then an outfit that was like covered her boobs and her lady parts, and that was it.
It was gravity defying, that outfit that they put her in.
It truly was. And I mean it, and God bless Denise Crosby, she looked gorgeous in it. But
I forgot who was it that Data said that he had been intimate with Tasha Yar too. It wasn't her sister.
No, it was when he was Professor Maddox.
Yes.
When they were doing the hearing about if data has rights. And so he had like a hollow projection thing, I guess picture frames of the future, of Tasha Yar. And so Picard asks why, you know, why is that? Do you have that? And then that's,
because me and Tasha used to get our freak on. That's why.
I mean, if he was fully functional in every way, I don't believe that it ended with Tasha Yar. Come on. Only 1,000 people on that ship. Come on.
Maybe he tried multiple things out. You never know.
You know, like, I mean, and there was no clear thing about if he was hetero, pan, whatever. We don't know.
And who cares?
No.
That's much more. Although I give Star Trek credit, like they explored a lot of that stuff. Like
they did after Gene Roddenberry died.
Correct.
It was all after Gene Roddenberry died. But even like with Jadzia, when her old wife comes back, I thought that they handled that really, really well. And there are times when I see like on Tumblr or whatever, like I would see a younger Star Trek fan complain about the lack of LGBT relationships on Star Trek. And it like, it's so hard to say to them, like, there were no LGBT relationships on TV in the 90s. There were none. It was like, there was Roseanne got kissed and then like Ellen came out, but that was it. So Star Trek even doing that much was a big deal. So I hope that when younger fans go back and watch it, they understand it within its time and place and realize that, like, no, it was a big deal that they had two women kiss, and that it wasn't just like a kiss haha for fun. It was a kiss of a relationship, you know?
And Jadzia willing to risk it all, like,
right,
saying, yeah, I'm gonna break these trill rules that we used to that we have, and I am going to leave this life because I want to be with you.
Right.
That's a heartbreaking episode.
It really is. Cause you just see that connection between them, and you're like, you want that for Jadzia. You want that bit of happiness. So yeah, that is a sad one to watch.
But they do also even on TNG, like, they explore the idea of non-gender. Like, again, yeah, with Riker, the sex whore, where he is, like, that episode too, where you have a race of people that don't have gender.
Right. Which is, and it is a very difficult thing for, like, I'm glad that they showed that poker game where they're all saying, like, the hard time they're having, just keep kind of understanding what it is. And I think still, I mean, that's still something that we're dealing with now, like with non-binary, with trans people, that there are people that just don't get it or don't want to get it. And so you see that played out in Star Trek. And I mean, I think at the time it was a clear allusion to just gay relationships and that, like, of how they, you know, I think that just like the half black, half white face episode in the 60s. But I think that they did a good job of saying, like, hey, we're going to put this thing in outer space and make it weird, but you're going to have to feel something and talk about it.
All right. I think that's a good place for us to stop. But I want to,
are we going
to
title this one the sex episode?
Yeah. What do you think? I was thinking, like, Star Trek, you know, Maggie and Lawrence talk Star Trek sex.
I think we'll get a lot of downloads.
All right, good. Then that's what we shall end up calling this episode. Oh my God. We still need a name. There were some suggestions. Let me, you know what? I'll just go through the emails now. And if you want to email us, houseoflpodcast@gmail.com, you could send us your suggestions on what you think that this should be. Someone has suggested, it's already a show, but someone has suggested Lower Decks.
That's a great one, but the...
Right, you don't want to get it confused.
Yeah, both a show and an episode. So
someone said, like, Shuttle Bay 4 or something like that. We should call it. Let's see. Wait, I gotta go back in here.
I don't want to impugn anybody's ideas, but
what you got? You got something?
Oh no, I don't have anything. I the Shuttle Bay 4 didn't do much for me. That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I have no ideas.
None. Basically.
I know. I wish I did. I'm really good at naming things for other people. I don't know why I can't come up with a good one for us.
Okay, so let's see. Here's some suggestions. Geek Space 9.
Ooh.
That's not bad. That's not bad at all.
I like that.
All right.
Because that also gives us room to talk about non-Star Trek geekiness, too.
Oh, you're right.
You have just got, like, you got me watching a Twilight Zone episode the other night, and then I ended up watching the whole marathon, and I could not stop watching it.
It's so good. Like,
it's ridiculous how good it is.
And the stuff that Rod Serling was doing, like, he was so far ahead. Like, it's so crazy that you're talking about a TV show that was 60 years ago, and some of the stuff that they were talking about is still relevant right now.
Right. Right. And just like how the one episode that stuck out that night that I watched was Five People Looking for an Exit. And that it was like these, that it was like a army person and a guy in a kilt
and a
guy and a ballerina, and they were all trying to fit. They were in the cylindrical room and they couldn't figure out how to get out of the room. And what the room was a like toy donation bin, and they were all toys. And the one of them got out and was out in the snow. How do you look at a toy donation bin and be like, sci-fi episode?
Right.
But you did.
Because that's how Serling got down. Okay, what do you think about this? Level 4 diagnostic?
Maybe. I like Geek Space 9. It's going to be hard to beat Geek Space 9.
Boldly going. The tachyon beam is also a suggestion.
I like the tachyon beam. The boldly going, I think is used
too often.
Yeah. Like that's my friend's yoga company. Her name it's Boldly Going Yoga.
I don't even have to be talked into Geek Space Nine.
Yeah, I like Geek Space Nine. Whoever gave us Geek Space Nine. All right, we got a name.
We got a name
now. Geek Space Nine.
Geek Space Nine. This was Ken A. who made this suggestion, and it's a really good one, Ken. We appreciate you listening. So I dig that. That's the quality stuff in there. So we have christened the Geek Space 9. But this episode
is... If I had champagne, I would like throw it over my computer, but then that would break my computer.
Yeah, and we can't have that. But yes, this episode will be about creepy Geordie sex, and people will enjoy it. All right, Maggie, I appreciate you.
I appreciate you. This was really, really fun, and I can't wait to do it again.
Me too, on the next episode of Geek Space 9.
Geek Space 9, man. Yeah.
Geek Space 9 forever, I think.
I'm already thinking of a t-shirt design.
We should sell them.
Yeah.
Make money.
Or at least wear them.
We'll definitely wear them, but maybe sell them.
Yeah, maybe. We'll think about it.
Editor's note. Maggie and I thought that we had this incredible idea of Geek Space 9 from one of our listeners. Shout out to Ken who sent that in. And then Maggie went to go look to see if the Twitter was available. And we found out that there was already a Star Trek podcast called Geek Space 9. Now, they haven't posted anything since July. So we were thinking that we would just keep rolling with it anyway. But I threw out the Blood Wine, as in whining, podcast. And I think that's what we're going to roll with. I think that's as long as there are no further problems. I think that's what Maggie and I are going to roll with on these particular episodes. I'd love talking with her. She's so much fun. So much fun. If you would like to email us, houseoflpodcast@gmail.com. is the way that you can do it. If you thought that Geordie was creepy too, we'd love to hear from you. It's funny, the most emails that the podcast have gotten have been from these Star Trek episodes, which I think is interesting. But if you've got something you want to say, whether it's about this or other episodes, if you want to talk about Queen's Gambit with me or some of the interviews I've done, houseoflpodcast@gmail.com. Maggie and I both thank you so much for listening. We will talk with you next time. Kapla!
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.